and Ray.
Ed.
Ed.
Then we're ready for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Perfect. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes.
Any corrections to the minutes?
I don't have any corrections, but I have a couple of questions for Mr. Hassan concerning the Cagle Road. So I can either ask those now or ask it a minute to then approve whatever can be introduced.
I'm fine either way.
Fine with it?
Okay. I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Done deal.
Okay, you stated at the last meeting that city is budgeted $15,000 for improvements to the Cagle Road.
That's right.
Is it Cagle Road or the Cagle subdivision?
Yeah, it should be Cagle subdivision.
The whole thing? Okay. Couple of, I'll just give you a couple of quick questions, then you can give me an overview.
Okay.
When do you plan to do it? And you already answered number two, all the roads. Will the property owners be contacted so that they know what's going to happen when somebody pulls up in front of their house and starts cutting all what they think are their trees down? And any trees that are removed from in front of somebody's property, is the owner going to have the option to say, I'd like to keep the trees for myself, or are they going to be all over?
Okay, well, I hadn't established a format. I had sent an email to Rick because he did this last year. But he, as I understood it, he just did it on Cagle Road.
Just on Cagle was where it was done, yes.
And so we drove out there. He showed me what he did. He showed me sort of the modus operandi that he followed for. Here's how he did it. He didn't want to push his luck real hard, but on the other hand, he wanted to set the stage so that the right-of-way is protected. And is encroached upon, you know, if for no other reason, safety reasons. So then I went out here a couple weeks ago, and there's five roads, long roads, on the south side of Cagle that run from Burgess to Cagle that all need some attention. They're likewise on the north side, but more so on the south side. And I thought, well, I would take three of those roads this year and do what was done last year on Cagle Road. And hadn't gotten much further than that. The thought was clearly to have a meeting with those property owners and tell them what, and it seems like on the east side of those roads is where the power lines are, and I assume that it's mid-city that oversees so much for our city. Oversees, and so the trees are pretty much attended to on the east side. But on the west side, they've certainly encroached down, and they need to be pushed back. And I don't know that we need to have a real fine line that says we're pushing back all the way to your property edge. But generally speaking, within proximity to the property edge. And if somebody is just going to have blow a gasket if we do their property, you know, it'll beg the question whether we really want to push our luck or not. The thing is, you just simply just want to start a process each year where you push back until we have a line of demarcation that's pretty good and as reliable. Because if you're going to make improvements to those roads, and I can see that happening in a couple different ways, then you need to reclaim your roads as a starting point to that expression. again, we'd have a public hearing. Of course, Rick told me he had a public hearing last year on Kegel Road, and he said nobody showed up.
Doug did.
One person showed up, me. I was the only one who showed up.
Okay, and so, you know, and not to discount the fact that we would do it, but it didn't sound like we did a very good job of enticing people last year to come.
I think you have the same failure rate if you ask people to go to a meeting. I would strongly recommend that you send like a postcard telling the people what you're going to do and saying if you have any concerns or questions, then call City Hall. Because people here are not big on going to meetings, especially on Saturday morning when they've worked all week. Doesn't work.
It's interesting. I've been invited to a meeting next Saturday morning.
I
hope you're wrong. Go ahead.
Can I make one other suggestion for your group? Is that when the city decides to do something there, be consistent. Don't go back 8 feet in one part of the road and 10 feet in another. And if you're going to go back 8 feet or 10 feet, be consistent on all the roads and keep that all the time when you do that. Because that way, if they see you're consistent, they're going to realize you mean business. If you start zigzagging through there, then they're going to say, we got the city where we want them.
Okay.
Thank you.
And so it's a question of who's running the SR?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You're in charge of everything. You don't have to raise your hand.
I agree with what everybody kind of said, that once we start this notification and application, that we continue to do it. We continue to send postcards, we continue to say this is what we're going to do, and we just plot a plan and we just go forward, because if we stop midstream or we change it in any way, we just need to continually go along our little plan. Don't you agree, Doug?
The key thing is to inform the people who live there
so
that they know what's going on. They don't have to go to a meeting. If they have the information given to them, then going to a meeting is, you know, optional. There's a thing called the telephone and the email.
All right, well,
as long as they're informed, that's the important thing.
Right. The roads I was looking at to do work on this year would be Pine Drive, Doe Lane, and Antler. Okay. And then next year, then I would do the other two. And then eventually, it would be probably a circulating thing that every year we would do something. Once we did all the roads, then we'd have a normal maintenance program that went out and provided for that, and I probably have a normal contract with somebody or somebody to do that as a regular process. Okay.
Now, what about the wood? Are you going to leave that?
Well, and that's the other thing. What would be your recommendation on the wood?
Well, why don't you have a checkoff box on the postcard that they could submit back with their name and whether they want the property or the wood left at the property.
I think it should be, if the homeowner wants it, the contractor should limit up and leave it.
But that could be on the postcard. And then we'd get a little response if at least they received it and they're on notice that this is going
to
happen.
That might be an enticement to get their interest.
And you're going to need to give them a time limit to get the wood out of the right of way.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got to give everybody time limits on things or stuff will sit there for years. And that's including giving the city time limits.
What about, okay, so some of the property owners may want the wood, some of them may not want the wood. What about is some sort of a charitable thing that we take the wood that isn't wanted and we place it someplace to make it available? You know, I don't
community
like
community kitchen. That's just what I was going to say. Community kitchen. They're always screaming firewood.
And I think they have been, or at least recently, they've been hauling logs up to Paul Hancher's ranch, and then people go out there Wednesdays or Thursdays and cut it up. You can get to Hancher's ranch without getting out on the highway from these roads, I think.
Yeah.
Who's Paul Hancher?
Yeah, it's the Leaning Pine Ranch. If you're heading north, it's the one on the left, right at Pine
Crest. The big red one.
Oh, okay.
Where all the cows are. And, yeah, you can
and,
go
and
down.
He's working with the community kitchen on that, right. So he's struggling for the
team. Oh, cool. Okay. That's nice.
Thank you.
Because it, even though they're putting in a fenced yard over there at the community kitchen, they still had a wooden stolen
oh,
from
there. Oh, they did.
Okay.
So.
All right. And then we probably have to figure out some kind of a security for the wood. But again, the thing is we're a charitable community, and if you don't want it yourself, and it is a resource, and
well,
you have somebody.
And we could organize that with the community kitchen, or Paul, or whoever's going to pick it up, that on such and such a day, you're going to be trimming it down. The owner hasn't notified you that they want the wood, so go get it.
And maybe I organize the tree cutting, so as the trees are being cut, and cut into lengths, that maybe a community kitchen representative would be there to
pick it up.
To pick it up. That lessens the burden on the city, maximizes the share of the wealth, and it's a win-win for everybody. And we get a little publicity.
We like that. Yep.
That we actually did something halfway decent. Okay, good. I like it. It's a good idea. All right. Thank you. Hey, do you have other questions, Doug?
You did a very good job. Thank
well,
you
I think
much.
The other thing is that, you know, again, if people raise their hand, I want them involved. It seems to me, when I go to do this, by God, I'm going to make sure that you're a part and parcel of it, if for no other reason, just to get some guidance,
mm-hmm.
Okay, because you live out there, and you can help me, and you can help me run past interference.
Okay, fine.
But the most important thing is communication with those owners way up front so that they have a couple weeks to respond. Right?
Correct. Thank you.
And when do you anticipate this right-of-way clearing to start?
Oh, soon. I've just been so busy trying to get sewer and the water district over here up and running. And oh, by the way, it's over here up and running, and that's going pretty smooth. We haven't lost any customers yet. No one has died at our front gate or anything. So I'm thinking that's a good move, yeah. And, you know, for all the hand-holding before the fact, you know, is this going to work out? Is there going to be some snafu at the 11th hour? It's been pretty seamless. It's been pretty anticlimactical, you know. Other than we've inherited Scott, and, you know, he's...
How's really that working out for having Scott as a boss?
Well, having him over here telling me what to do all day long, at least somebody is making decisions here for the city, and I think that's a good thing. Right, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we grabbed Bill from the sewer committee, water committee.
Both.
See? It's another win-win. What can we say?
What can we say, Bill?
You've said it all.
All right.
Scott needs a sign, though. He
we
deserves one now.
You know, why we don't have one? Hey, would you give him a sign proportioned to his body size?
We'll just leave it out on the sidewalk.
Oh, well, we'll probably have to start out there on the sidewalk is what we'll have to do. Sign for Scott.
Are we ready to go on to the Wickiup Overpass presentation?
We are, I think. And I'd like to introduce... It's Amy Pfeiffer, right?
That's correct.
She's a Harvard graduate, and she's a modest lady. And I know you wanted someone, so I went to the, I said, who's the most capable person in the organization, period? And everyone said Amy, so we invited her to come up.
There you go.
He's setting perfect. You up, Amy.
I know that.
I can't see you coming.
Well, just remember, payback's for everything. Right, Amy?
That's right.
Okay.
I'm going to hand you guys just the project information paper. And the reason I'm doing this is because I brought that map over there, and I'm looking at it, and with my eyes, I can't see it very well. There is a map as the back page to this, so you can always refer to that. And I'll kind of step you through an update on the project, plus...
thank you.
I have a staple down here. Guess what? You're going to staple it anyway. So the purpose of the Wickiup Junction project is really to eliminate the at-grade rail crossing of US 97 there in Wickiup Junction. So that is the kind of the overall arching driving element to the project.
The project started back in 2005, believe it or not, with a big environmental process to look at all different alternatives and how we could potentially resolve that problem. And they looked at 15 to 20 alternatives, and about 2000, and had a lot of public involvement, did a whole bunch of environmental studies, and in 2007, they pretty much came up with this selected alternative. And so I will kind of walk you through what the project is. So if you guys are familiar with where Burgess Road connects to 97 here and the railroad crossing of US 97, which currently goes like this, the project basically takes US 97 at right at Gordy's truck stop and starts veering it off to the east out over the BLM land, and then US 97 goes over the railroad tracks on a bridge and then ties back into US 97 down here. And this tie-in here is just before you get to those passing lanes, to give you kind of a sense of where that is. Because we couldn't reconnect up Burgess Road here, Burgess Road now comes and goes around a corner here by the park and ride and goes on to the old US 97 alignment through here. So if you're going from Burgess Road and you want to go southbound 97, you just go ahead and keep going and it actually becomes an add lane onto US 97.
Okay.
And you come south. The other Burgess Road connections connect up here after the bridge kind of, you know, touches down below the bridge, so where you're not such a steep grade. And so if you're coming on Burgess Road and you want to go north, you come down here and you basically take this part of the road that goes under the same bridge as the railroad, and then you hook up to 97 here and you can go north.
Okay.
Similarly, if you're coming southbound on 97 and you want to get off on Burgess Road, you just take a right turn right here, and you're on. If you're coming from the south and you want to get off, you just come here, you make a right turn, and you go under the bridge, and then you're on Burgess Road. And so all of those turns for the new Burgess Road connections are right in, right out only turns, and there will be a center median to avoid the left turns on it. Some of the other features are we are going ahead and planning to build the embankment and designing it for four lanes. We're only paving two of the lanes, so we'll have extra wide shoulders out there for snow storage and extra capacity. Also, there'll be acceleration lanes for people turning onto Burgess Road. You'll just have your own lane to get into and then accelerate before you hit the highway. So there are deceleration, acceleration lanes. The other key element to the project is down here at Gordy's truck stop. We are leaving the Roslyn Road connection alone, but we are dramatically increasing that deceleration lane for trucks so they can get over, decelerate before they get to the Gordy's truck stop turn, basically. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Do you have any questions?
I do.
Okay.
I'll go over here. Cost.
Cost.
Estimated cost of the project.
The cost is somewhere in the $20 million range.
$20
million? Uh-huh.
And where is it on the priority list?
It is pretty high on the priority list. This is
definition
the last.
Definition is pretty high.
Well, good question. There's a lot of other needs throughout the region. This is a fairly high priority. Now, how it compares to First Street or some of your other projects that you've got going on, I can't really tell you. However, I do know that recently, we got $2.3 million added onto the project to complete the railroad right-of-way acquisition from our ODOT Rail division. So it's a high enough priority from a multimodal standpoint to put extra money towards getting a shovel ready. We do not currently have construction funds. It is not currently programmed for construction. But it is one of the last, it is the last at-grade rail crossing on US 97. And we'd like to eliminate it.
If it was approved and funded, how long from start to finish would it take to complete the project?
Once we get it, once we get complete the right-of-way acquisition, the environmental work will be done, all the geotechnical work will be done, the bridge design will be final, all the rest of the designs will be pretty final, and so it would just take a few months from the time we got awarded construction funds to get it out on the street. And that's basically just a polish up the changes in the specifications or whatever occurred during the time period at Salem Shelf.
I think you misunderstood his question. He wants to know from when you start the construction project, if I'm not mistaken, until it's finished.
How long?
It'd probably be a 2-year construction season.
Yeah, see, when you said a few months, that's...
actual work?
Right, yeah, it's not a few months, a few months to get it ready.
I understand that, but he said from the start of construction.
Oh, thank you.
Couple of years?
Yeah.
Couple of years.
Really, that long?
Yes.
2 construction seasons.
I believe that.
And has there been any consideration given to the business at the corner of Burgess and 97 that will probably go out of business since he's losing half his traffic?
Well, there's a right-of-way process that they will go through, although we're not really impacting him directly. There is going to probably be an indirect impact. There, well, it isn't something we could solve.
But directly impacting him is your, is he's losing all his traffic from the north to the south.
Right.
All of it. That will probably put him out of business.
That's one of the unfortunate instances here.
Well, and I want to add to his comment, if I may.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, on your map here, it shows a whole green X, and the green X reflects the fact that now Burgess goes out, and right now you have the opportunity to turn north or south.
Right.
And the way this is envisioned, that little connection there, north of Burgess Road on 97 for the next 600, 700 feet is vacated in its entirety. Now the problem with that, and there's a couple, right now WikiUp and the Cagle neighborhood both are somewhat isolated from the rest of Lapine. And one of our goals as a community is to connect Cagle and WikiUp and the city proper so that they're all functioning together and in concert. Now you've got approximately 350 lots in the Cagle neighborhood, and across the street there, on the other side of 97, you have approximately 80 commercial businesses. Now these folks over in the Cagle neighborhood, to one extent or another, are reliant upon direct access to those commercial enterprises for recreation needs, for food, for entertainment, for products, for any number of things. And as it is, because there is no direct access along 97, their only access over there is by Burgess Road. So Burgess Road is sort of, if you think of the railroad tracks as a river, you have a bridge across the river right now at Burgess Road, and this proposal would take that bridge out and say all you folks in the Cagle neighborhood who probably average 10 transportation trips a day, and a good portion probably going over to the WikiUp for products, services, are now going to have to go downriver. They're going to have to rely upon a bridge downriver about 2 miles. You know, my thinking is that anytime you do a transportation improvement, you know, one of the things you want to do is minimize traffic impact. And what this is going to do is going to create a situation where either the people in the Cagle neighborhood are isolated from the commercial enterprises, extent that they don't rely upon anymore, which is going to have not just an adversity on the one down Burgess Road, but upon all of them. But it's also going to add, you know, probably several thousand miles worth of transportation trips annually to all the people in the Cagle neighborhood to be able to get over to WikiUp Junction. And so it seems like we're trying to improve a situation, but at the expense of not just the business on Burgess, but the whole Cagle neighborhood and at WikiUp, and more importantly, the city proper. It's from a land use, as being a land use professional, it seems like a very injurious remedy to the community.
I understand your opinion, and there is. It's about a half a mile out of direction. little over a half a mile, actually. It's, I think it's 3,500 feet.
This is not a whole lot different than the south end of Bend, where you turn off to go to a couple of residential areas that they put the GM barriers in the middle of the Highway 97, and they right. got to go down to Deschutes River Woods right. from the west side to get into Bend proper.
Right.
I mean, it's a similar thing, Doug, and I don't know what a good answer is for this, but the intersection there is very dangerous right now between Roslyn, where Gordy's turnoff is, and Wickia yeah. both.
Yeah.
And I think that we're all going to pay for that, whether it's going to be too very injurious to the businesses and the people there, I don't know. Well, I hope not, but...
Everybody knows that the legislature has passed the rule or law or whatever says that the railroad crossing has to have a bridge over it. That's the law. And this is the last one in the state, right?
Yeah.
So
well, the last
that
one
has to happen. So
last one on 97.
Last one on
yeah. 97. My concern is the overall, like Steve said, the impact on the overall neighborhoods.
Right.
It doesn't personally bother me any. I don't have a problem with it, but I kind of feel for the guy who owns the business that
yes.
he's probably going to go out of business because of it.
So part of the link with all this is if you're going to cut off the bridge that people rely upon for, you know, their livelihood and for just, you know, basic services, then it would seem to me that there ought to be some at-grade crossing associated with the Cagle neighborhood, like Cagle Road connected to 97. And I went out and took a look. Purcrest, which is further north, too far north to be able to serve as a surrogate, but it just runs right across.
Pinecrest.
Or excuse me, Pinecrest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so my thought was that you'd make an at-grade separation maybe at Cagle Road, like at Pinecrest, and therefore everybody would still be able to get over here and access this, and it wouldn't impair the placement of this, but it would remedy the fact that these people need connection across the way here in order to sustain themselves.
There isn't a proposal to eliminate that Pinecrest.
No, but okay. I'm saying that we should have, if Pinecrest won't serve as a substitute if Burgess Road goes away. That's too far. It's like 3 miles north. That's not going to help these folks. They'll have to even go further to get over here. But the point is, if you had Cagle Road run through and connect there, then you'd still have a connection from the Cagle neighborhood over to Wickia.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that something like that ought to be entertained. If you're going to cut something off, then you ought to attach something someplace.
Well, I think that's something that the city of La Pine could actually pursue concurrently with this project.
Okay, and that's why I'm bringing it up now, is I don't know when's a good time to pursue something, but it seems to me that's important.
Because the first thing is the rail crossing.
You know? Yeah, you have to go across the railroad.
Local road crossing of the railroad and yeah. you know, apply for a permit and see what that might cost. I do know that we did stop the project limits purposely before we got to Roslyn Road, and we did not do a look at the access management here, and we did that on purpose. And the reason we did that is because we've looked at this many, many, many times. There's lots of driveways to US 97. A lot of them are very dangerous. There's a lot of people that park right on 97 there.
That's awful.
And creates pretty dangerous situations. Mm-hmm. But in order to solve that, we would have had to pretty much buy a bunch of right-of-way from all these folks along here. And that would have basically wiped out all the businesses that were trying to support with the project.
That's
kind
of
one of those dilemmas.
Right, good access management even on the highway says that you allow accesses at the section line or the mid-mile. Right. And I think Cagle is a mid-mile. You know, I think there's enough distance separation between, especially with Burgess cut off, that
right.
you would be able to access and not impair.
I think while you're at this, when you do this, it would be a good time to address the right-of-way issue where Drafter Road comes in there on the east side of 97 at the north end, where all the carvings are, because I think there's a very big infringement on the right-of-way, and you can use all of this at one time to straighten that out, because I think you've got a parking issue down there, and you're going to create or continue with a parking issue all along with that.
Right.
And I think it's time ODOT gets on the horse and do something about that.
Well, it is going to be a separate project from this one. This one is focused on the at-grade rail crossing, and the funds allocated were to resolve that problem and not resolve all of Wickiup Junction. You could also consider some of your, you know, land uses in resolving your business on one side of the river and the residential on the other side. I mean, that's something that maybe the city of La Pine could pursue contemporaneously with your cable connection. But it's kind of outside the scope of what we're trying to do with this particular project.
I'm just trying to, again, it's got to be understood. And, you know, I'm the first to support the need for highways to move products to market, and then that should be imperative. But we're challenged already that the north side and the south side of La Pine are disconnected, and the east and the west side are disconnected, and the highway plays a major role in that. This solution will even further the disconnection. And the challenge for a city is to be able to connect and have identity and accessibility. And all of that is impaired. And I know that ODOT, on the other hand, is working very hard to push toward multimodal solutions. And it seems to me this will impair multimodal solutions. It will make it more difficult for someone to be able to bicycle over, or run, or skateboard, or any number of things between this neighborhood and the retail across the way.
What would the cost of a pedestrian bridge?
That adds a million or so, usually. The problem with pedestrian bridges in this situation is what we've found in all of our studies, and we have these problems all over on 97, any community that we go through, because it is a barrier. Here we have two barriers. We have a railroad, and we have a highway.
So you would span both.
Yes. So it would span both, but let's just say that we said, all right, we're going to put an overcrossing, pick a spot right here, or maybe it's up here. The problem is the pedestrians here won't walk up to here and cross the bridge. They will just run across the railroad and run across the highway, right? And these up here won't walk all the way down here to go across the bridge to come back up on that side. They just won't do it.
Right.
And so you spend a couple $1 million, but you don't solve your problem. The other thing that induces is once you build a bridge somewhere, say you just build a bridge over the highway, like right here on the project, then that is a de facto rail at-grade rail crossing of a pedestrian. And so then you're muscling with the railroad, which we have no power over, to try to allow an at-grade crossing for a pedestrian crossing, which would be a pedestrian-activated signal that they could, you know, activate and then it would stop trains. And the railroad doesn't like to go for those.
No.
So we struggled with trying to figure out how to resolve that problem, and we were hoping in your city's comprehensive planning effort that you would figure out how to accommodate all the modes, and then it's a simple add-on to a project once you've solved the problem.
Well, I got to tell you, I've been a planner for 35 years now. I've been a planning director 7 different times in 7 different states. And once you put a barrier up like that, you can have all the planning expertise and capabilities in the world, and there's just no way around it. I mean, you put a barrier up, a barrier is a barrier. Okay. And it doesn't reconcile itself easy. What will happen, likely, is that you will have the people in the cable neighborhood more reliant on downtown, which will help strengthen the downtown, but it will also detract from all the people that rely upon sustenance from the cable neighborhood, all 350 people over there on the Wikia, you know. So somebody is going to be financially impaired, and not just a one person, but several people, by this. Plus grandma, who is limited in her house and cable, is going to be that much further impaired. She's going to be that much further away from services. And she's going to be that much more impacted in terms of isolation. So, you know, a city, if one of its goals is to, you know, enrich its retail enterprises and to dissuade anything that might cause some sort of impairment or isolation of its population. And this just makes it difficult. That's all. The solution, and I understand it's a good solution, has a negative side to it, a downside.
It does.
You know, and needs to be addressed. Okay. And now's the time to address it, not when with the things under construction and everybody wakes up and goes, holy cow, look what you just did.
Who gives these businesses like road signs and everything that could say exit to Wiki Up Junction half a mile and stuff? Is that ODOT? Do you put up the signs?
Our Travel Information Council does, but we are not cutting off any of these driveways through this business area, nor are we putting a median barrier.
No, I'm back on Wiki Up Junction.
On this part?
Mm-hmm.
Over here in the neighborhoods?
Directing the traffic.
Oh.
Off of the bridge to come down and loop around and go back to Wiki Up Junction.
Yeah, the Travel Information Council provides those blue signs you're talking about.
Because see, the rest of us in town, I was just thinking, we'll go up Huntington, we'll go back Burgess, we'll get all our goodies at Wiki Up Junction and then come back to Highway. But people coming from the north
tourists
aren't going to know that.
Yeah. Tourists from the north or south aren't going to realize that.
No.
Right, the Travel Information Council works with businesses to provide those signs. And I know they have limitations on what they can do. They can put things like food or certain recreation spots and that kind of thing on those signs, but they can't just put everything on the sign. One of the challenges we have in this particular area with signing is that all of our current edge of pavement on US 97 is at the railroad right of way. So all of our highway signs are on the railroad by easement. So, you know, adding signs is going to be a difficult situation in that area. But we will be signing, you know, we will be providing signs to this exit well in advance.
And the bottom of that could say gas and food and
grocery. Mm-hmm.
That's what the Travel Information Council puts on with blue signs.
Because everybody going up to the High Lakes, that was the original Burgess Road, takes you right up there. So.
Right. And that'll be signed for that as well.
What do you foresee as the anticipated start date on this?
We don't have,
it's kind of a wide open question, but
we do not
have
construction
funding and all
funding.
That. You have no idea.
We don't have construction funding. We do have enough funding to complete all the environmental work is pretty much finished, but we had to update the noise study because noise rules changed since we did the original one. So we've done all the environmental work, we'll have finished all the geotechnical work, all the design work, and purchased the right-of-way with the money that we have.
And so all that work, all the planning is completed now?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're just waiting on funding?
We're just waiting on construction funds and to finish up the design work.
If you look on the second page of what she gave us, almost down at the bottom, it says project cost estimate $35 million.
That's for the entire
I understand.
Environmental effort, everything.
Yeah.
And we have reduced that pretty significantly with the redesign of some of this area. And I should update that information paper because right in here, we've shortened up this little loop and tightened up the bridge a little bit and working the railroad to narrow up the bridge. And so we've gotten that cost down to around $20 to $25 million.
I think we need to brainstorm a little on this before you start making any decisions, Mr. City Manager. I think a lot of us need to sit back here and digest a lot of this and then have another work session in regards to this. Either with or without ODOT, it doesn't matter, but I think we need to come up with some solutions. I'm not one to sit here and complain without trying to come up with a solution, because everybody can complain. If you come up with a solution, we make your job easier, we make our job easier. And I think that would help a lot if we could do that.
How do we contact the Travel Council?
Travel Information Council? I can send, why don't I send you, Steve?
Sure. And I'll just forward it to you.
A contact information for that.
That'd be good.
Some additional comments. We have entered into an agreement. In fact, it'll be before the council tomorrow night. It's an agreement with ODOT to have Kelson Associates do a transportation system plan for us. And I thought as part of that transportation system plan, we would evaluate, what can we do? Or if we can't do anything, I mean, it's going to come. What can we do to minimize the impact to the community from this, Then the other thing is just a question in general, and that is, heard you say you've done environmental impact, looked at all the different things. As part of that, did you look at how many additional transportation miles would be added to the city's road system or the county's road system by virtue of this disconnection of Burgess Road to 97? And likewise, was there any financial analysis done to how that might impair the businesses on Wakia?
They just did a very brief socioeconomic study, which kind of outlined what they expected the impacts to be. Is that available? Do you want me to send you all those reports?
Not a whole bunch, because I'm just now learning to read. But
it's a very hard task for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of pictures and some large font. Keep the letters, four letters or less.
It was a consultant report, so I can't promise.
No. Just whatever you've got, I would be appreciative. I want to see the rationale.
Right.
And not so much that, that we're going to take issue with this improvement. I think it's needed. But, what can we do to protect our community so that it doesn't suffer, it's a neutral outcome. It's a positive for the transportation industry, but it doesn't impact our community more enhanced.
Right.
Okay. That's all I'm after.
Okay.
What happens to this stretch of the highway between Burgess Road and the on-ramps? Does that become the city's roads?
Well, that hasn't yet been decided. Currently, we're working on an agreement with the city.
I think the county has already kind of conceded that that would be. I got an email from Chris or from George, one of them, that said that they would view that as a city road.
Right. Okay. And so our agreement that we're currently implementing with the city, and we still have to work out the details because we've just started talking about it, would include that this portion of Burgess tie-in right here would be part of the city street, and that maintenance responsibilities, etc., of all these would have to be worked out when we actually get the construction funding. And the reason I say that is because we do not own this right-of-way currently. ODOT does not. It is BLM land, and we have a deed that is a federal land transfer. So if it ceases to be used for highway purposes, it reverts back to the BLM. So there's a whole bunch of extra work on the federal level that has to occur over the next few years to even make decisions on that. It may need to stay part of the highway system just on that alone.
Okay.
So we don't know that yet. But those are details that we're hoping to work out in the next couple of years.
I think it would be important because I could see BLM coming back and going, it reverts back to us and we don't want it to be used for a road either.
So we're giving
And then we further isolated our community because not only can they not go north, but they can't go south either.
Yeah.
How big is this area in this circle here on the west side of the on-ramps and off-ramp?
Down here? This one, or this one on this side, or this one over here?
On the west side there.
This is about 3,500 feet, so that's a little less than 1,000 feet right there.
Well, would that be appropriate property for ODOT to look at relocating?
That's a facility. Now that's a great idea.
Well, they need 8 acres, is what they told me. They're thinking of a land swap so that we take this Primo land here at First and Reed.
And they can take 8 acres of BLM land out there and access it to Roslyn or Wendy.
I like that.
Question I have, what are you going to do with the highway from Burgess North to where it would, once the project's done, the old Highway 97, what's going to happen with that?
Well, that'll become the route that Burgess Road uses. So it's the pavement stays, be restriped. So this is the old highway right here that Burgess Road runs down to connect the highways.
No. North of there.
North of here?
From Burgess North to where it would intersect to the new 97.
Right there.
What's going to happen with that part of the roadway?
Be obliterated.
You're going to take it out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So what happens to the parking ride then?
It stays. Parking ride stays.
They're talking about maybe even expanding it.
Could that go right into the parking ride? Just block off the access to the railroad crossing, but make it an in and out loop on the parking ride?
Change what we've got, you mean?
Yeah, because right now you have to turn off onto the schedule road and come around.
Yes, Chris.
Well, but I can remember when Burgess Road went straight through in front of Vic's in the store and came out in 97.
And it crossed 97 and continued.
Yes, it did. When I first came over here, it did.
Yes. Uh-huh. Crossed the railroad track.
Yeah,
that was a dangerous trail.
Yes, it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, it's the crossing of the railroad tracks that's problematic there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But if that were to be blocked off there and given access to the parking ramp through that old section of highway.
To
the parking ramps and the business there.
Where are you wanting to access that at? Where the barricade is now?
No, I'm saying that just the highway crossing itself, if it was blocked off and you created an access point to the parking ride and the Wickiup junction right there off the highway.
The simple way would be to remove that old barricade that is there at the end of the old Burgess Road, right there by the service station, and access it there and obliterate the highway from there north.
Mm-hmm.
Once that project's done,
well, Burgess,
why reinvent another road?
Burgess will still run into Wickiup if you're going,
exactly,
toward the east. I mean, that's,
that would give you two accesses.
You shut the fence down, make another road. That ain't no big deal.
Well,
no, Steve can do that.
No, you're wrong, Doug, because you've got to deal with ODOT when you start doing that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
You do.
You know, there's a lot more to it than what you're saying.
There is.
Yeah, I guess
that's a whole other project.
Yeah. Another concern I have is whether that parking ride would remain viable under this reconfiguration.
Yes, it would, according to reading all of this.
Yeah, it should, and it'll make the much safer moves. It'll be right turns only. They'll have their own lane to accelerate. It should make it just as viable it is. There is an extra half a mile they would have to travel to do the loops, but it's going to be right turns, so it'll probably be faster in the long run.
Well,
at least that's what the traffic study said, that, you know, some people will go use Huntington Road to go north. Other people will find this faster because it's a right turn on. They don't have to wait for cross traffic to clear during busy times.
Okay.
That is problematic right now, trying to get
onto
97 off of Burgess Road.
It is truly scary there.
I go out Day Road and come out State Rec if I'm heading to Bend.
Yep. Yep.
You can get out of State Rec easy.
Right.
Maybe hit a yard sale on your way.
Has ODOT, in all of their information gathering, have they surveyed the businesses in the Wickiup Junction area that this has impacted to see what their opinion is of this, or do you know?
They did a lot of early public involvement, and some of the business owners there were part of the early development of alternatives and solutions to the problem.
Okay.
And there was quite a bit of public outreach done early on the project. And I believe as part of the socioeconomic study, they interviewed the businesses and talked to all the businesses
okay.
out there. There is no easy solution.
Oh, no, no, I understand. I mean, no matter what happens, somebody's going to be impacted.
Yeah.
To me, what I'm seeing here, and I haven't sat back and analyzed this other than what I've got today,
uh-huh.
this seems like probably one of the safest viable solutions there. But I still wonder how it impacts the Vic's Tavern, the Wickiup Junction store, the storage, the RV repair place there, and things like that. I mean,
right.
Well, I guess that's something we can do on our own over and above what ODOT's done.
Right, and one of the things that you're seeing is you're seeing basically the bare bones, eliminate the at-grade rail crossing.
Mm-hmm.
When they were doing the alternatives development, they thought this could easily be converted to an overpass here to connect up your east-west
mm-hmm.
when it ever became needed. Now that's very expensive to do that. You're going over the railroad and the highway.
Yeah, yeah.
So it didn't seem to be warranted for this project, but it might be something for the future
question.
To consider.
Now I heard you say that early on in the planning process, these businesses were contacted for input.
Uh-huh.
My understanding is that there's been different iterations of this configuration. So were they contacted relative to the latest configuration?
We have talked with several of them individually. We are planning to do another outreach before we get to the final design and before we begin the right-of-way phase, actually. We're planning to do some more community outreach and combine it with some of the other projects you have going on here, like First Street at La Pine, and do more information to people.
And you said it was going to be a future four lanes here, and they're only going to pave two. My question, I've answered my own question because I've been in road maintenance. I guess my question is, do you know when they're going to look at making four lanes from Sun River to here? Because I hear that's in the works as well.
When it's needed, and
okay.
when we get the funding
okay.
for it. You know, there's some people who have a vision that 97 is going to be four-laned all the way from border to border. We don't really see that.
Oh,
we
see
it as,
see it from
improvements as needed,
okay.
you know, and where the areas are that are congested that warrant the four lanes will be four-lane. And in other areas, we might just add in passing lanes at certain
mm-hmm.
distances.
Right.
So
okay.
That's a long ways out before.
Oh, man. It depends on how things grow.
It is. Very
dependent.
When there was a huge earthquake and I-5 collapses and falls into the ocean, I would think this route would gain a lot more attention.
Mm-hmm. It will.
Oh, it would. I can remember when they were building I-5 as a kid.
There you go. I rest my case.
There you go. Don't go setting off any earthquakes.
Because I-99 was your main roadway between Eugene and Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Oh gosh.
Well, some of the other key milestones. I can leave you a set of these if you want. They're plans. These are the design acceptance plans. They show lane widths and, you know, all the detail.
And I'll just have it available as a product if anyone wants to know more information.
We have preliminary plans are coming out in October, so that's just a little bit more level of detail. Advanced plans will come out in February, and we should have final plans in July of 2013. So we'll have complete shelf-ready plans. After that July of 13th, though, that's when the railroad right-of-way will start the railroad right-of-way ahead of time, but that's when it'll be complete because they need final stamped plans before they'll actually sell right-of-way to us. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They have to have the bridge plans, exactly what's going on the railroad, to the level of detail and engineering sign signatures on.
So But that's independent of the funding for the project.
Right. We've got the funding to take it that far through the right-of-way process. And then we don't have any construction dollars at this point in time. But what we found is that when we get projects ready and we jump through the environmental hurdles and the railroad hurdles, when funding becomes available, it's really easy to fund those that are ready to go. Yeah. If there's money.
So I can leave you this too. This is the railroad, what we got approved to span the railroad.
So do you have any inkling on when construction would be complete on this project? Some year out in the future?
You can buy it by
whenever
the
we get funding, about 2.5 years after we get the funding. If I could predict when we'd get the funding, I'd already be rich. I wouldn't be working.
Who does the funding?
Who does the funding?
Yeah.
Comes from a variety of sources. Most of our funds are from the federal transportation bill. And then the state has some transportation money as well. And then there's a various other sources of enhancement funds, etc. And the ACTS, which I believe, Steve, you're a part of the ACT, the Central Oregon
Area. Oh, no, I act up a lot.
The Area Commissions on Transportation, there's city, county, etc. officials that come together and decide how to prioritize the investment in the statewide transportation improvement program. And that's kind of how things are decided. So sort of by committee.
I don't know if I'm part of that or not. Every time I turn around, I find out I'm a part of something that I didn't know I was a part of.
So was the last project similar to this done in Chamonix at that bridge?
I don't know when the last one was, to tell you the truth. But it had to have been one of the more recent ones.
Because I can't think of any other that hasn't been done, you know, with a bridge over the railroad.
Over the railroad, yeah.
It's small.
I think that's probably about the last one that I recall.
Any other
questions? That's a nice job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, they didn't have to put any exits and on-ramps in that area. They just had to go across the railroad tracks there.
Yeah.
Because they did all of that north of Chamonix. And they had to only deal with the UP tracks. They didn't have to deal with Burlington, Santa Fe.
Well, people who are going to go to the lakes are going to take off on Burgess. And so affecting the store there and things like that, I mean, people are going to the lake, stop off at that store. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
And I don't see, I don't know. I'm sure the ODOT's going to put up the blue sign just like they do at Sun River. You know, mm-hmm. There's a lot of blue signs there at Sun River talking and right. Telling what businesses are at the next exit. And they'll take care of them down there.
Well, you know, traffic's going to go through slower at that point than it is right now, because that's a 50-mile-an-hour zone through there. And I'm sure we're going to see that, I would assume. And I know what happens when you assume, but I think it should be a 35-mile zone after you get off the off-ramp of 97 to get on the frontage road there.
Well, the frontage road, I'm sure they'll reduce the speed limit.
I hope ODOT does something in that respect. And that would be part of the project in my mind.
Well, we're not really impacting that area. Like I said, we're just stopping the project right here. And they are looking at speed reductions through here and all kinds of things as an ongoing effort.
Well, on 97, I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about when you come off the loops there on the south end to go up to Burgess Road there at Wickiup Junction to access the High Lakes.
Oh, that'll be a local road speed.
Well, but we have to go through ODOT to get those speed regulations approved. Right. That's not something we can just arbitrarily do.
Unless it's your road.
All roads go through ODOT. We have been told that many, many times.
Really?
Even the cities have to go through ODOT.
Nice. Okay. I didn't know that.
You just learned something.
I did.
The cities can't just arbitrarily put speeds out without getting some approval of ODOT. Hmm.
Plus we annex into Idaho and then we'd be part of IDOT.
There you go.
See, I've worked with them. They're pretty easy to work with. So.
Do we have pull with them through you?
Yes, we do. So that's why we need to annex over there.
Only to Meridian and Nakuna, though, huh?
We're leaving Oregon and we're going to become Idaho?
Lapine, Idaho.
Absolutely. That's the next item on the agenda.
Okay.
Places where there is a conflict with utilities that are already in there, are there provisions to move those?
Yeah. We'll be sending out, what we're planning on doing under this phase of the project is we're going to go ahead and send out conflict notices and let them know what we're planning to do, but we're going to also let them know that we don't have construction funding, we don't have a time frame. So hopefully what will happen with utilities is that they will seize opportunities to be efficient, knowing it's coming in the future. So if they have another project going on in that area, they may just go ahead and relocate.
So they can either relocate or plan accordingly.
Right.
Will there be lighting at the intersections?
Illumination?
Illumination.
I don't know that. Okay. We haven't got to that level of plan detail in the next set of plans. If there's lighting, it should show up. Because it is dark there. And we've gotten that comment from Steve as well, that it's so dark there in Wickiup Junction.
Okay. Any other questions for Amy?
No.
Thank you, Amy.
Very helpful.
If we do have any more, we have an email address.
You do.
Thank you.
I had a phone number. Just give me a call. Do you want me to leave this map for you, Steve?
I appreciate that. Okay. Yes. Anything. I appreciate everything, and I appreciate you coming.
Not a problem.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay. Item 6, determination of term limits. Are we going to postpone this till next time, or?
Well, I write something up and send a few folks and get some, you know, because again, I just now looking at it, and I think what they intended to do was not to approve this in September with the expiration in December. I think they intended for this to go a year and a few months rather than, I think they put the wrong date, so.
And you being the robot, you just copied it off.
Yeah, well, again, I'm just a robot. Orla's tried since this morning to hurt my one feelings. Just not, just not going to be able to do it. So. Okay, so let me work on that. Let me see what your druthers are as a group. And we probably need to amend the resolution to reflect some better time frames and also a process for how you folks are selected rather than just a paragraph that just leaves everything in the air. As I read that real quickly, I didn't gain a whole lot from it that you could rely upon for guidance, you know. So just another thing needs to be amended.
Okay.
All right. So I don't know where that leaves us in the meeting.
Public comments.
Okay. Well, you chased off all the public.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Amy did a good job, though.
She did, and I hope we didn't hammer
scare
too
her
hard.
To death.
But that is a big issue. The land use is a big issue.
It is.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, this is a huge undertaking for this area. And my big concern is for the area, the businesses in that area, how it's going to impact them. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and I'm just, I don't know.
Well, just think about it here. You know, I live in Crescent Creek. Last night, I said to Joan and my son Paul, let's go up to the pizza place there. So, you know, we go up Huntington, we go across Burgess, and we go up. Okay, now, all of a sudden, you put this railroad crossing in, and I'm going to think, God, now let's see, I'm going to go up and across and back down again and up again. Maybe we should go someplace else instead of there.
Well, either that or you're going to come out of there and have to go down to First Street and hit that and go up.
We need another walking path on the other side.
Yeah, no, I think
I thought of that as well. That
is going to have to think this thing through. And again, that's why this committee is formed, is to, you know, gee whiz, we need to be thinking about all the things. Because right now, all we're doing is just being reactionary. Every time I turn around, I'm reacting to some decision that somebody else made, and they really didn't necessarily have all the facts, or they didn't have all the follow-through.
Do we have any say-so? I mean, it's ODOT, our bottom line, if they vote on this, and they'll do it, right?
Well, they'll do it, but the thing is that we always have the bully pulpit. And that is that all organizations are sensitive to public input. You get enough public input, you get, you know, the attention of a congressperson or a state senator or something, or the Ben Bulletin, these folks are going to be responsive to trying to accommodate. And I think within reason, all public agencies don't want to go out of their way to push their luck.
Do we want to have an open house or an open meeting and meet with the people up there, Vic's Tavern?
Oh, well, that's already, that's been done.
Oh, was it?
You know, well, she said that years ago, but, you know, I lived in Bend 31 years and I saw the parkway come through, and, you know, it's a done deal, folks. It's up to the city, it's for the residents. You guys come to how you're going to get there, it's up to you, because it's going through and that's it, period.
I do like the idea.
You're right, too.
Yeah, I live on the south end where that barrier is, and they just have to go to Brookswood, and, you know, way out of our way. But that's life, you know, as the city grows and things change.
Now, I just, something just came into my mind. We were talking about overpasses, pedestrian overpasses. Now, if you stop and look at the turnoff there by the High Desert Museum, underneath the railroad tracks are some tunnels for access for people to come from Deschutes River Woods. Why can't they put something like that in there? It's a low impact when they start bringing fill dirt in, to let people walk underneath that to go from the Cagle neighborhood or Wiki Up Junction over to Gordy's or the Pizza Parlor or any of those businesses over the Dairy Queen.
Our new pathway.
Exactly. Why couldn't they put a tunnel on each side of the overpass of the railroad tracks to get access to that?
They could do it, but you'd have to call it a deer tunnel. So the deer could go under
it. Well, I don't want 4 miles of fence out there. That's another $1 million. But I mean, that's just a thought that I watched them on Highway 58, didn't impair the traffic at all, bored through there and put tunnel pieces of concrete in and sections up there by Crescent Lake Junction for snowmobile access, and the people just continued running over the top of that. So I know it can be done, but it's easier to be done in the construction phase than afterwards. So here's something else to think about.
I could go import some milk from out there.
Oh, we have them going right out here.
Bring some milk.
And we have up at a state rep.
We have an elk path here and a moose path.
There's some buckskin horses out here. We'll put antlers on them and sit them up there.
Set some tree limbs on their head?
Yeah.
Super glue.
When we put water, when water went out to Wiki Up Junction, we made sure it was out of the way and all our valves were in, so I would not be being run over. You have to shut something off, and now there's none of that luxury anymore. I mean, there's valves right out here under the median by Gordy's, and then on the other page, on the turn of Burgess, you know, the entire water line's under the center of the...
Okay, well, it sounds...
Yeah. Well, see, this is something...
Every other town, ODOT buys your water line and moves it out of the way for you.
Well, this is something that needs to be considered.
Right. Yep. Or do I have to, you know, put on my vest and be out in the middle of the street trying to get a valve open? And that just doesn't seem appropriate.
Four-lane highway.
I think
I'm big, but I'm not that big.
this is issues that need to look at that and begin to prepare ODOT for what needs to be done for your water and sewer district.
I'm not sure that the city needs to be left holding the bag of $120,000 worth of construction.
No, I agree with you.
Move utilities out of there.
Right? Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, with any utilities, if we're in ODOT's right of way, it's incumbent upon us to pay for the cost of.
I suppose.
But as part of a construction project, they might be able to fund the relocation.
Some of this is a proposed right of way right now.
Yeah.
So that's a negotiable thing, I would assume.
It is and it isn't.
Bill?
Well, something we ought to be.
But yeah.
You need. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think we should spend some time at one of the future meetings looking at how Burgess Road is going to, this curvature Burgess Road and 97, where it's going to be lopped off and the railroad crossing there, the impacts there?
We just need to think it through. If we lose.
Maybe a big blow up of that for us to...
I have a big blow up in my office that I brought back. I went to a meeting with Amy and representatives from Deschutes County a couple weeks ago. And she had a wonderful, great, big, huge map of just the area there. It's bigger than that map there and much more detailed.
And, where that green X is?
Yeah, and I could bring it out. In fact, why not just bring it out now? We'll stick it on the road. Before you leave, you can eyeball it and just get a little bit more perspective.
Well, I think we want copies of that big blow up.
Is that the picture?
Don't we?
Yeah. Let me just go get it while we're talking.
Yeah, use restroom. Yeah.
Because that impacts parking, right? It impacts that business.
Well, remember one
utilities.
Thing. There's one question she did not answer. And she either didn't want to answer it or she doesn't have the answer. And that is where this project is on the list. And when I say the list, for 2 years I went to all the ODOT meetings in Redmond about construction, roads, and so forth. They have a list, goes up to 50 items. This is just for Central Oregon.
Well, yeah. They're going to spend...
When they are funded by the legislature, they pick from that list where they want to spend the money. They're supposed to start at the top and go down, but it doesn't always work that way. So where is this project on the list? Is it
I don't think it's on a list.
Oh, yes, it is. The last.
Don't we have to get shovel ready to go, and then we're on that priority?
No. It's on. There's a list. The last time I saw it was like number 50 on the list. More than likely, not to be negative, we'll be too old to drive a car
right.
By the time they ever do this.
We'll be taken.
Then we will need a walking path.
If we can make it that far.
We'll have our power chip.
There we go.
I think the railroad's involved in it. It'll be,
of course,
I know that, but what I'm saying is it'll be on higher on the list than we think.
We hope
so. The railroad is the last project in Oregon to get the freeway or the highway away from the railroad track, it'll be a big priority.
And because railroad's going to push for it.
Yeah. And whatever railroad wants, they get.
Well, they got a lot of pull of federal dollars, so.
Okay, well, you folks take a look at that at your leisure.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll probably leave it up there for a while anyway. All right.
Other business.
Well, another business item. We've talked about this. It's one of our goals. City had constructed a number of goals for 2012. One of them was illumination. This is an awful dark community. We have a lot of dark intersections. There's safety issues associated with dark intersections. There's law enforcement issues. And then again, there's a connectivity issue. And there's also just the general concept of presence. So I started asking folks, including you folks, for input where we could consider putting some street lights, and noting that the council had supported the idea of up to 8 street lights in our community for the upcoming year. And so from that input, I typed up a list here this morning for you of 15 locations that have been called to my attention for that consideration, and then a map that corresponds with those 15 locations. And so I think what I'm asking you folks to do is to look the list over, and possibly suggest eight locations of the 15 here, or, you know, other locations.
Could we postpone?
Absolutely could. I mean, I gave this to you, and it's late in the day.
No, what I'd like to suggest, Steve, is that I take this back to work, and I try and determine the cost for each of these locations.
Okay.
And is the city opposed to looking at something other than the light standard that they have on Huntington Road?
I think so, because realistically that light standard on Huntington Road, it provides some illumination, but more I think its focus is identity. It's got little flags on there, and it tries to create a sense of place.
And banners.
Okay.
And,
But our lights need to do more than that. You need to be able to illuminate an area that's dark, that's dangerous, and if it's on 97, I don't think one of those little puppies is going to do it.
Okay? Right.
So, I think we'd want to know, even if there's a sticker shock involved, I think we'd want to know.
Well, there are other options besides, that decorative lamppost that allows for hanging. You can get other standard posts that would still have the same head on top of it, but would be less expensive. And then you also have the option, if there's a power pole there, that we could add a over the surface road. It would be coming up with a different security light type head that would be floodlight for a road.
Does Midstate pursue high pressure sodium as opposed to mercury vapor, or what is their preference?
High pressure sodium. We don't want low pressure sodium.
I understand that. Well, do they classify mercury vapor as a low pressure sodium? It's a higher usage than high pressure sodium.
High pressure sodium is more efficient than, so.
My problem with high pressure sodium, and it's strictly a perception problem, because I know there's studies made, but it doesn't seem to put out the same lumens as, say, a mercury vapor. But in all the studies, it does.
Well, but then the other thing is that typically when you stick up a mercury vapor, you're a higher wattage than what.
Right, right.
Which you can do is still do with the high pressure sodium. It's just you don't buy a low wattage high mercury vapor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Is there any cost differential between the two, or longevity differential between the two?
I'm not sure about longevity, but I'll bring back some information for the next meeting.
Most all cities have gone to high pressure sodium over the years due to the studies, and I've disagreed with it for years, but because of the studies I've had to change my thought process. It just, we're used to one look from a mercury vapor as opposed to another look from high pressure sodium. So.
I was stuck in the city of Springfield for 18 years and I got the low pressure sodium.
Oh gosh. Well, they've got so many different lights in Springfield. So.
Yeah.
I know.
Come up to an intersection, you press on the brake because you're expecting the light to turn red in front of you when it's just the yellow from the.
I lived over there for 55 years. I know what you're talking about.
So. That'd be my recommendation. I guess if anybody else has any recommendations on where street lights should be placed. But we might be able to get away with less expensive light fixtures, and I'm beating up the vendors right now for the prices they gave me on the decorative sight link poles. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens over the next month. I will abstain from any votes on the lights, but I will provide costs and whatnot.
Okay. Good deal.
So thank you very much. And then just one last thing. Chris Doty had provided us all of our streets. We've got 31 miles of streets or thereabouts. And now they're split up. And they're split out threefold. We've got county roads, majority road, city roads are county. We have some city streets. And then there are some private streets within our city.
That are streets.
Pardon me, that are streets. Well, let's put it this way. They're rights of way, but they're private. And why that's important, for instance, with mosquito abatement, I had a lady the other day, it's a good thing I had my asbestos underwear on. She called me up and she just started chewing on me that we weren't out mosquito spraying her street. And she lived on Willow.
Right.
And so I had to inform her that the reason that I didn't have the spray people out there on Willow was because that wasn't a street. That was a right-of-way, and we'd be trespassing.
Absolutely.
If we went out there, and moreover, we would be chemical trespassing.
Yeah.
And while you want to be in the world of hurt, go out and spray some chemical on somebody's property without their permission, even if it's for, you know, what is considered a, you know, a safety
benefit,
issue,
yeah.
A benefit. And you've just opened the door for a lawsuit or a
yes.
So with respect to these roads that aren't roads in our city, my thought is until they are dedicated for public purpose and until they're brought up to city standards, we wouldn't accept them into the city. Otherwise, we just buy a pig and a boat.
Question.
Sir.
If I lived on Willow, let's just use it as an example.
Okay.
And can they get an IGA between that street and the city with the approval of a majority of the property owners? Can they pay for it? Can they get mosquito abatement, for example?
Are they already paying for it with their taxes?
Yeah, you run into a sticky wick where they're paying for it doubly. I just rather not trespass.
No, it's why? Just,
again, I had Mr. Shields wanted me to expand the snow contract this last year to plow on those roads and paying for them. And I had the presence of mind to inquire whether they were roads or not, and found out that they weren't, and said, no, we're not going to be plowing those roads because those are private roads. I'm not going to use public dollars to plow private roads. And I'm not going to trespass against people without, you know, I just wouldn't do it. So I just, my view is we just stay away from them, which is unfortunate.
But they're not legal roads, are they? They're private access to those people.
I took the time, especially with Elena, Willow, and Evergreen, to inquire. They are, each and every one of us, a tax lot, but the tax lots vary in width from 15 to 30 feet, so they're not even up to a roadway width that would be acceptable. You'd have to go in and dedicate more of that land for right-of-way. But being none of that tax parcel, those tax lots, have been dedicated for public purpose. So they are for sure private, and we have no business on them.
The reason I asked that question is in Lane County, we had what we called local access roads. They were not owned by the county, they were actually owned by the property owners. And they would go amongst the property owners, if it was a gravel road and they wanted it graded, we'd give them a bid. If they came up with the money, we formed a contract between the county and those property owners, and we sent a grader and an operator out there to grade those roads. They paid the bill after it was submitted, and away we went. So I don't know if these fall into that category or not.
What they could do is they could have a little LID, a little local improvement district.
Yes.
And pay for, you know, actually pay for someone to go out and survey the road, dedicate a sufficient amount of it, bring it up to public standards so it would be accepted in the city inventory. But I think from this point forward, we certainly don't want to bring anything into the city that isn't up to city standards. And by the way, I don't know what our city standards are right now, but I don't think they're really very good. So that's another thing we're going to probably wrestle with. It's what kind of standards do we want for our roadways as time goes on? Maybe as part of that transportation system plan, come up with a road standard that you folks will review and say, yep, that's our road standard. Okay.
Is Wednesday night still the spray day?
Wednesday, is that what
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They do the whole city on Wednesday?
Yes, our goal is to, absent weather conflicts, to do all 31 miles at one time every Wednesday night. And if they can't do something because of wind or something, then the goal is to come back and do the remainder of it as soon as possible. And I've structured the contract so that if they don't do all 31 miles, they only get paid a pro rata per mile for that that they do. They've been pretty good conscientious about going out and doing all the roads and coming back and doing some more, even including the rodeo site and Roseland, the park area up there. So as the church is trying, see so our children aren't carried off by mosquitoes.
Well, that, you know, that spraying does work.
Mm-hmm.
For about 3 days.
Yeah,
about that. And then they're back.
For
those 3 days, boy, that's wonderful.
And the closer you are to the chutes, the quicker they come back.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're all up and down. All right, anything else for the good of the order? Well, thank you very much.
When are we meeting again?
And that these dates are okay with you, this before the counseling?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For instance, if you folks were in a position, and I know you aren't now, but had you decided, these are our road priorities, then I'd have them before the council tomorrow night.
Well, I'm going to go drive these at night.
Okay.
Right. I want to see what it's like at night, as opposed to the day.
Well, and I appreciate that. Anybody wants to do anything here to help, support, or defend, because truly, everybody everywhere has a need for lights. I mean, when you see all the intersections we have probably a good couple hundred of them. So, what do we get for best bang for our buck?
I am working on the contract for the city. I've given it to Darwin for review now.
Okay.
So
that take that three-party contract and make it
a two-party contract. Yeah.
It'll still be a three-party, or will it become
just two?
Just two.
Just okay. Between Mid-State and the city.
That's good. I appreciate that.
So okay. It's got to go to our general counsel here to review the changes, at least one change. And hopefully by next meeting I'll have a contract that I can send to you.
Good. Okay. Well, maybe by next meeting we'll figure out, who's still on this committee because their terms haven't expired, and who gets to serve the rest of their life on this committee.
who installs the Mid-State or the city? Who will install these lights?
It's going to be probably a combination of, whether Mid-State's not going to do the foundation work. That'll all be contract. Conduit work could be, I don't know, possibly even Scott.
That's scary.
It just depends on how expensive you want it to be.
We can make most anything happen.
Scott can hold the pole while they're working on it.
Well, or Mid-State could do the whole thing. So it's kind of...
You're going to give us a menu option? Cafeteria option?
Cafeteria plan.
Well, who did the elements? Mid-State do
Mid-State,
the elements?
Mid-State contracted out all the foundation work.
Yeah.
And the conduit work. And then Mid-State came in.
They basically were in charge of the whole thing.
Yeah, they were in charge of getting it all installed.
Why don't you just leave it the same way for this one?
It were a lot easier that way. Just one person to yell at.
Yeah.
Well, you know where they are.
Right over there.
Yeah.
Same way over here.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Thank you very much.
All right, goodbye.
Well, I gotta get home and have lunch, so I go to bed.
Thank you.
Right, he said.